Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Our good friend Brandon Gaudin is calling the games in Columbia, South Carolina tomorrow for Westwood One. We've had him on from the tournament in years past. Here we go again. Brandon, good to have you back on the bench. You're calling some good ones tomorrow. I love that VCU Central Florida game you're calling, and I know the others as well. Why don't we start with that one? What do you think of the VCU Knights game?
Well, the question is, can UCF contain VCU's pressure? VCU, just like under Shaka Smart, now under Mike Rhodes, they love to pick up full court and turn the ball over. They have a great backcourt, very quick, 16.3 turnovers a game that they force. So the question will be, can UCF handle that pressure? The good news for the Knights and Johnny Dawkins is that they have a ton of experience, and there's nothing that you want at the top of the list more than an experienced front line and backcourt to try to beat a press, and that's exactly what they have. If they can keep the turnovers to a manageable number, and since VCU forces over 16 a game, I would call manageable around 13 to 14. I think this is a game that UCF could control. VCU is very good, and they're coming in hot, winners of 12 or 13. But UCF has two very talented players in B.J. Taylor, who's a first-team all-conference player, and then Johnny Dawkins' son. Some people may have not seen Johnny Dawkins' son play until tomorrow. He's a kid that started at Michigan and then transferred to UCF to play for his dad. He's in his redshirt junior season. He's in. He's really, really good. So those are two talented guards that are going to help handle that pressure of VCU, and I'm with you. I think of all the four games in Columbia tomorrow, that's probably the one to watch.
That's the night game at around 9:40 East, the last game of the day you're calling. The first game of the day you're doing is Ole Miss and Oklahoma, and I don't think anybody knows what's going to happen in that game.
No, it's two teams that have been struggling. Oklahoma's lost four of their last eight. Ole Miss has lost four, or excuse me, they're just 4-8 in their last 12. Ole Miss has lost 4 of 5 coming in. This is a classic example, and I know we see this a lot this time of year, of the major programs that are just kind of mid-level and struggled, won some games in conference enough to get them in, but haven't had amazing seasons. Now, you have to give credit to Ole Miss. If anybody hasn't watched Ole Miss this year, they were picked dead last in the SEC. First-year coach Kermit Davis, who came over from Middle Tennessee State. They had a great team 2 years ago that upset Minnesota in a 12-5 matchup in the dance. But nobody was expecting anything from them. Kermit Davis is the SEC Coach of the Year, and he's got three very talented guards in Terrence Davis, Brian Tyree, and Devontae Shuler that are going to be fun for people to watch. But Lon Kruger also has some talented guards. So that's an 8-9 matchup. We always say 8-9s or matchups are a toss-up, right? It's a cliche to say. But with UCF and VCU tomorrow and Oklahoma and Ole Miss in the first game here, if you had to pick it, good luck. I'd say flip a coin because I don't know who's going to win either one of those contests.
Yeah, and then you got the other 116s, Virginia and Duke. The second game you're calling is that afternoon game, 3:10 East, the Virginia Cavs as the number one seed in the South against Gardner Webb. Now, we all know what happened last year, and I'm sure that's their only goal is to not let that happen again. So I can't imagine what they're going to do to Gardner Webb because they must have been sleeping at the wheel last year, but I don't see that happening again.
No, and I asked, so Gardner's Webb head coach, his name is Tim Kraft, young guy, 42 years old. And the first question I asked him today, because we get time with each head coach and a player, and I said, so is it good to know that UVA got knocked off last year by a 16 seed? Does that give you confidence? Or are you like, oh, shoot, we missed this by a year? And he said, well, to be honest with you, I feel like, oh, shoot, we missed this by a year, right? Because they're not going to catch any one seed off guard, let alone UVA, who was the victim of the first ever 16-1. UVA was also without DeAndre Hunter last year in that game, and he's an even bigger piece to their puzzle this year. He's the defensive player of the year in the ACC, and everybody knows that Tony Bennett's teams are predicated on defense. If Gardner Webb wins this game, they're going to have to hit 18 to 23-point shots. I mean, they're just going to have to shoot out of their mind to have a chance to stay in this game with Virginia. Virginia's the best in the country at defending the three-point line. So, yeah, I don't see it happening again. Those Virginia players have been hearing about this for 364 days. They're tired of it, and I think they're ready to put it behind them.
I love Brandon Gaudin, Westwood One, calling the games in Columbia tomorrow. I love Jerome and Guy. I mean, they both can do it inside and outside. Guy can shoot as well as anyone in the country, but I love the kid Jerome. He's like a scrappy street ball player. He'll drive. He'll step back. He'll defend you. You want to talk smack to him, he'll give it back to you. I mean, he is a hell of a guard for a white boy, I got to tell you.
That's the thing. Everyone talks about Kyle Guy, and they should, and Braxton Key and DeAndre Hunter, all great players. But you look at what Ty Jerome does. Yeah, he's number three in points, but he leads him in assists and steals. So that's what you're saying. He's scrappy, right? He does all of those other things that helps his team win.
Right.
And earlier this year, they called him the X Factor, and I think that's exactly what he is. Not only early in the tournament, if they're going to make a deep run, I think Ty Jerome has to continue to do what he does, get steals and assist the ball very well. He's done that all season long.
So, you know, the winner of that Virginia game plays the Mississippi-Oklahoma winner on Sunday. And then the last game, or the 7 o'clock game you're doing is Duke against North Dakota State, the Bisons. I can't imagine what they're going to do to the Bisons, honestly, because what I'm seeing in a lot of these games, if you ask me, like these Kentucky games and some of them, I mean, they've been ugly. The Gonzaga game, these heavies are blowing out these 16s right about now.
Yeah, I mean, I think that they're going to have to pray that it's not that bad. I mean, North Dakota State, it's like I said with Gardner-Webb, they're going to hit a ton of threes. Now, the good news is for North Dakota State, their last four games, they're 50% from outside the arc. Well, I think they're going to need to be about 75% from outside the arc to have a chance against Duke. I was over there watching Duke shoot around today, and the whole place wasn't full because it's a big arena. It's about 18,000 here in Columbia. But everybody came just to watch Zion. I mean, he is the craze in the country right now. Every camera, every iPhone was on him throughout the entire practice. And when he touched the ball, it was like, ooh, ah, he'd go in and dunk and the place would go nuts. And yes, they're Duke fans, but they're just casual college basketball fans that have bought into the Zion craze. And look, I get it. I bought into it too. The bottom line is, though, this is going to be a very pro-Duke crowd, obviously, as it always usually is when they're close to home early in the tournament. And you know the other pieces that they have. If they don't make it out of the first two rounds here, it would be an utter failure. And I think what everyone is excited about, though, is the possibility of that second round matchup of Coach K against his former pupil Johnny Dawkins if UCF would beat VCU. That would at least be a fun storyline. I don't know that UCF can hang around, but that would be a fun storyline for a little bit.
So you're doing the games with the legendary John Thompson, Hoya coach. What do you think he thinks of the job Ewing has done so far?
I think he's liked the job that he's done because, look, it's early. They struggled this year late, and they fell to the NIT when early on it looked like they might get in the dance. But if you look at the recruiting, and I'm going to ask Big John this tomorrow because I like to follow the Big East and I'm curious. If you look at the recruiting that Patrick Ewing has been able to assemble, very good and strong again next year. So I think guys like Akinjo and McClung, for guys who follow the Big East, are top-notch players who are going to have bright futures there if they stay. So I think the recruiting is going to continue to bolster itself. The question is, where will the X's and O's fall as he continues to get more and more experience as a head coach? But I'm guessing, I can't speak for him, I'll ask him tomorrow, but I'm guessing Big John likes the future for Georgetown.
So I do my sports betting pod for Westwood One, and I've worked with Westwood One forever. I did For All on a Bench on Westwood One back in the 90s, and we're heavily involved with them here. What do you think of the fact that they have all the greatest sporting events in college athletics, like the football, all the, you know, playoff games, the championship game, the NCAA tournament, and then they go right from this to the Masters? I mean, how sick is that?
Oh, it's unbelievable. And selfishly, I mean, I don't do the Masters, but selfishly to do the NFL games, to be able to do some of the big college football games, and then to me the crown jewel is these next 2 weeks where I'm fortunate enough to work the NCAA tournament. I mean, yeah, that's the cream of the crop, and I just feel lucky to be a part of it. It's one of those things where, you know, you cover sports day in and day out too, but it's one of those things where sometimes you wake up and you go to work, you get on your computer and you're researching sports and you're thinking, is this real? Like, this is my job. Today I got to go watch Zion Williamson dunk and open shoot-around, and I called that work. So, yeah, it's a fortunate thing, and I'm happy to be on this ride yet again. I feel like you and I do this once a year during the NCAA tournament, so it's good to be back on with you.
Are you so next week you're going to Louisville? Is that where you're going?
Yeah, I'll be in Louisville with Will Perdue.
Oh, with Will Perdue. He's the reason Michael Jordan won all those championships.
Some, or the other way around. I'm not sure which it is, but yeah, you're right.
Come on. Will Perdue was the reason for all of that. Have they given that guy a shoe deal yet? Hey, Brandon, great stuff. Have fun with that quadruple header tomorrow in Columbia. I'm sure you'll do a killer job on less than one. Thanks for coming on the bench.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
All right, Brandon Gaudin, calling the games on Westwood from Columbia tomorrow. He's doing, in this order, it would appear to me.
The Ole Miss game is first.
Ole Miss first, then Virginia, then Duke, and then the last game he's doing is VCU and UCF, a quadruple.
So that'll
header.
Be on when we're on, the VCU-UCF game.
That game will be tomorrow night when we're live.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.